Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast
with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fan. We got Drunk History coming up with Kevin Held. And I got some super secret surprise celebrity guests lined up for Drunk History. I'm real excited.
Mark Ingram?
I can't divulge it yet, but I have two Twitter superstars, possibly, that are going to do Drunk History. I'm real excited.
Oh, it's got to be Moose tonight. It's got to be Wang.
Man, I can't give it away. People are going to be pumped when they hear about it, though. I'm very excited.
If it's not Wang, I'm going to be disappointed.
Wang used to be, like, blog all the time. Now Wang is just exclusively, all his brilliance is contained to Twitter. We are in the dead period. We're not going to lie to you. This show is going to be like 25 minutes. The Saints have no news, which is good news. Well, they did have actual news, which was rare good news for the time between the draft and when the training camp starts. Andrew, Max Unger's foot is not going to fall off. Apparently, they used the leeches, the Saints training staff, and he's going to be ready for week 3 of the preseason.
Yeah, we'll see. Ian Rappaport, I asked him about it, and he said he sticks to his original report, and that, you know, he said that it's how did he phrase it? He said that it was optimistic and aggressive to say week 3 of the preseason, but not impossible. So, you know how these things are. I think, like, once it kind of just depends on how rehab goes, and then you're never really sure if it's this thing lingers, and, you know, guys are day to day and it ends up taking weeks. So who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But I'm comfortable saying that he's going to be playing at some point early in the season. It might not be week 1. Hopefully it is, but it's not a devastating injury that would knock him out for the year.
I mean, if he's at like 90-95%, or even if he gets back to 100% right around week 3 of the preseason, they're not going to play him. They're not going to play him at all during the preseason, and they're just going to wait until the regular season.
And I'm kind of fine with that. Like, if there's probably like 5 dudes on the roster that I'd be like, yeah, they don't really need reps in preseason, they'll be fine, and he's definitely one of them.
Yeah, he doesn't need the reps. Yeah.
And I mean, we said it last week. The date for this surgery was not like picked out of the sky. He was probably rehabbing during the year, and they're like, look, Max, you either have this surgery by this date, and you can maybe be ready for the regular season, but if you don't have the surgery by this date and you want to have the surgery later, you could be screwed for half the year. You could miss all the year. The date last week was like a drop dead date, I'm sure, and it's not a magical date because you don't know how he's going to be with rehab. I mean, some people rehab faster, some people rehab slower, so we'll just have to see. But even still, I still think the offensive line, I stand by it, that the offensive line can survive 2 injuries and still be okay and workable, which for any other Saints position group, Andrew, you cannot say that. You cannot say this position group can absorb 2 injuries and be okay. I don't
quarterbacks.
Think.
I mean, I Drew Brees, Chase Daniel are gone. I think they're fine.
Who would they play? Would it be? Would we have Flynn?
Do they call Flynn again?
Oh my god! We can have fun and we can have the. Should they sign Colin Kaepernick for our podcast?
Oh, yeah. bring Cutler out of retirement.
Cutler can come out of the booth.
Romo.
Romo would be more likely.
With Peyton.
Cutler's like the white. He'd be like the white Aaron Brooks. Fans would hate him so much. So the Saints did actually have mini camp, Dave. Have you bought any rookie jerseys now that they have their numbers?
No. I would never buy a Saints rookie jersey. That's way too risky. If I was going to buy one, it'd be Anal Zone for sure. I'd custom make the one on NFLshop.com, and I'd make an Anal Zone one.
Anal Zone. You got anal. We need to make that a thing when he makes a play. You got Anal Zone. Andrew, there was a little bit of news. The Saints did sign two veterans. One, Cole Harbour. He sounds like a Civil War lieutenant.
Cole Harbour.
He does. He sounds like a guy on Ken Burns where they read his letters back home.
It sounds like a Fox show, like a Fox.
Like a Fox lawyer
like
show.
A drama.
Yeah, that could
his
be
name is not Cole Harbour.
What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's
what was it?
It's, God, what's
you ruined it, man. We were rolling with it.
It's Clay. Clay Harbour.
Whatever. Clay, Cole. Cole Harbour sounds more romantic.
I think Cole Harbour is like a place in Nova Scotia.
It sounds like a Daniel Steele novel. Daniel Steele novel.
I don't know what that is.
She's a romance novelist. She wrote like 100.
Thank God I didn't know that.
Besides signing Harbour, they did. They re-signed Barnes, the guy who was on and off the roster last year.
Yeah, Queef.
Like
Queef
six
Barnes.
Time. Khalif Barnes.
Oh yeah.
But Andrew, they really missed him.
Ralph gets Khalif right.
I tried to set him up.
I'm a pro. But he lost like 40 pounds. The Saints must really like him.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
does he have a shot to make the team?
He does. You know, I think anytime guys get signed at this stage, the question is really, are they going to make the 53-man roster? Like, as like one of the last three guys. I don't see any of these guys making a major impact, but you know, Barnes is the type of guy where, you know, Unger's maybe out for a little bit, and if he starts the year on PUP, then he starts to be that seventh, eighth lineman that's in the mix, maybe battling with the Landon Turner or something like that for a spot. So if he's lost 40 pounds, I mean, I remember watching him in preseason, and he used to be a really good player in the league. And I remember thinking, I mean, he was getting beat around the edge, and he just looks so slow laterally. So if he's lost 40 pounds, that's really going to help with that, and I think that gives him a decent chance of making the back end of the roster.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'd rather him on the back end of the roster than like a rookie UDFA, because I feel like if he plays. Like, he couldn't. You wouldn't want him playing for like more than like a week or two, but like, if you're like, okay, we got to put him in for a half, you can like make it work.
The thing is,
like,
I feel like
quarters.
Every time the Saints bring in these old guys that are like 33, 34, 35, you know, whether it's Champ Bailey or you know, whoever, I just think it's tough to make it through all of training camp and four preseason games healthy. And I just think it's one of those things where, like, if you get banged up and you're Marcus Williams and you're a rookie safety that they just drafted in the second round, of course they're going to wait for him. They're going to be patient. If you're Khalif Barnes, you can't afford to get nicked up. You got to be out there. You got to play. And I just think at 35, that's harder to do. So
yeah, that was the amazing thing about Jari Evans last year, like that he gave them 16 games was a minor miracle.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, you know, he did some of training camp with the Seahawks. He didn't play a couple preseason games. So I think that had something to do with it. You know, I think guys just get worn down.
Yeah. Besides that, I mean, is there anything about rookie minicamp that you – I mean, obviously I didn't go to – I'm in Houston, so I didn't go to the practice room. But is there anything you either of you read that you were like – I don't think it was. I think one day was. But is there anything you guys read that you were like, oh, that's interesting?
I would say the most interesting thing is that a bunch of one guy left the team, like recent, and he had just gotten like a $12,000 signing bonus or something. So that was.
You have to give that back.
But it was interesting that today they named the guys that were released and Shiloh Keough, who's a special.
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
Yeah, I'm just surprised to see him go at this stage. And then a couple of the guys they signed as UDFAs were cut in favor of some of these veterans they signed at the rookie camp. So, but Trayvon Dural is still on the roster. So he made it through rookie
Trayvon
camp.
Trayvon Dural, the guys to watch, I think, are Trayvon Dural and Arthur Mallett.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think those are two. Yeah, I think those are the three guys to watch as far as that are at the bottom end of the roster that have a real chance to make it. And we said it before, and you know, I say it on Twitter all the time. I think this roster, I don't necessarily know, Dave, if they're better at the top with the starters, but I really think this roster is better equipped to like survive an NFL season where they can absorb a bunch of injuries and replace. They can replace their mediocre starters with more mediocre starters where they haven't been able to do that in a couple of years.
Did you guys notice they signed like a quarterback from Georgia Tech that's like going to play DB, and they signed some defensive end that's going to play guard?
Athletes.
Yeah.
Athletes.
I thought that they had a couple
we're
like
really, we're really thinking outside the box this offseason.
Well, I think, you know, Loomis, you know, he's got to wrap this up because he's got to do his normal spend a week pretending to care about the Pelicans.
Right.
And that's what he does. That's what he does this week. You know, they have the draft lottery tomorrow.
Did you guys see the announcement that they're keeping Demps and Gentry?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, could that have been more laced with like, yeah, they're getting fired any day, though?
Yeah, I mean,
if I'm Dempster or Gentry, I'm like, great, glad I'm staying, but thanks a lot for the ringing endorsement, Tom.
Then one person was yelling at me on Twitter. They're like, "What about you don't know anything about basketball," which is true. But he's like, "What about continuity? What about team building?" I'm like, when do you deserve to give? Like, if Gentry and Demps, like, how long are you going to give them? Till Anthony Davis leaves? Is that how long you're going to give him? Like, what do they have to do? Like, how bad do the Pelicans have to suck before people get fired?
Well, it's interesting. And it's funny that Demp's got a stay of execution with the Gentry era. Because, I mean, I think Demp's is way past his expiration date compared to Gentry. You know I hate Gentry, but, I mean, he's only been there 2 years. You know, I don't...
If this was reversed and the Pelicans general manager was running the Saints, we would have pitchforks and be storming airline. But Pelican fans are like, whatever.
There was a guy, seriously. There was a caller in the WWL who compared Gentry to North Turner.
Dude, I wish he was successful.
That's actually not a bad
successful
comparison.
No, I mean, you know, he's a good offensive guy, but you know, he just cannot win games.
North Turner won more as a head coach than Gentry ever has.
Wow.
Hey, say what you want about North Turner. That dude won playoff games and got
no,
to
he
AFC
went to the playoffs.
Game.
He didn't win playoff games.
He won playoff games in San Diego, dude.
When did
he get to an AFC?
What playoff games in San Diego?
In 2007, man, when the Patriots were undefeated, they beat San Diego in the AFC title game when he was the coach, man, and Tomlinson and Philip Rivers were both hurt, and Rivers was playing on one knee. Say whatever you want about Norv, man. I would kill for Norv.
I will say whatever I want about him.
Well, his career head coaching record is below 500.
Norv?
Yeah.
Look at Gentry's. Gentry's is like way, way, way below 500. I'd kill for Norv Turner type success for the Pelicans.
All right, Norv Turner is 114, 122, and 1. So he's about 48%. And Gentry is 399 and 470, or 46%.
Negligible.
Pretty damn close.
Negligible. Pretty damn close. All right, you win that round, Juge. You win that round. All right, so people, I'm sure they're enthused by Pelican talk. They'll probably win the lottery tomorrow and botch it. The Saints, clearly, I said before, they're in the dead zone. So we'll get to questions in a minute, but I mean,
also, by the way, Gentry was in the conference finals once.
Yeah, well, so was Norv.
That's what I'm saying. They're the same.
All right, you win, goddammit. What more do you want? I'm the only person on Twitter in real life that will like concede that I have lost an argument. I have no problem doing that. So, Dave, as we get into the doldrums, before we come out of the doldrums and Yeah, we're in the doldrums. Before we get to training camp, how do you feel about the 2017 Saints right now?
I feel 8-8-ish is how I feel.
So a little bit better.
Yeah.
Tick.
Just a touch.
Andrew, how are you
just
feeling?
Just a touch.
Andrew, are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm with Dave. 9-7, 8-8.
That's what I feel. 9-7. I feel like they are 9-7 because I feel like their special teams have a real chance to not be a disaster, and that will help them. And they're due to just have a little bit better luck in close games, I think. And that can get them from 7-9 to 9-7, which 9-7 will get you a playoff berth, maybe. So right now we're feeling optimistic, but we haven't had injuries and bad luck and all that sort of thing. So let's get to the questions, which are just quite good tonight. Thanks for everybody for – I asked for questions a bunch of times during the day, and people delivered. This is from Robert. Andrew, if healthy, which linebacker position do you think anal zone mans? Also, who will go down first, him or Ellerbe?
Definitely Ellerbe. I don't think anal zone plays. He might play special teams, but I think there's a logjam at linebacker with, you know, Klein, Robertson, Ellerbe, Anthony. I expect all those guys to be ahead of anal zone on the depth chart. So
anal
I really think
is
year
betting.
One is either going to be special teams or a redshirt year for him.
Well, but if he is playing, I thought I read where he was on the weak side.
Andrew, are you there?
Is
anal zone on the weak? Is he a weak side linebacker?
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's more of a coverage guy. That's what they like him for. So yeah. If he plays more, I would think he would play more just in the nickel when there's two linebackers.
Mm. He's got tremendous hair, but he's the betting favorite for the annual Sean Payton medical red shirt.
Sports hernia award goes to.
Yeah. Dave, how many times will Khalif Barnes be signed and cut this season? Oh. Will he surpass Joe Morgan in that area?
No, it wasn't Joe Morgan. Wasn't it Andy Tanner? Wasn't he the one who got like cut and signed literally 14 times?
Yeah, but he wasn't like on and off the roster, was he? It was just practice squad, off the practice squad, on the like.
No. He wasn't. Some of it was that, and some of it was getting cut. But I thought that was Andy Tanner. But no, not as much as that. Not as much as Andy Tanner. But that, I'd say a good 5 or 6 times.
This is from Ruben Andrew. Oh Lord, this is gonna get dicey. Is PJ Williams good based on his limited playing time? Is he a starter if healthy or just in the rotation? Tread carefully, Juge. PJ Williams is a sensitive topic.
I mean, you can't count on that guy for anything. We've gotten one game out of him in 2 years. So this, like, if healthy thing that you threw out there, that's like a pipe dream. The assumption is he won't be healthy when he's not healthy.
Let me tell you something about the PJ Williams truthers, man. I could post a picture on Twitter. My avatar could be my son in a Make America Great hat and onesie, and I wouldn't get as much vitriol for that as I get if I say, you know, I'm not sure if PJ Williams is going to contribute in 2017. He's injured all the time, and I'm not sure if he's that good. Like, people come at me with pitchforks and knives. The PJ Williams truthers are – they are hardcore – ride or die.
All right, but realistically, I mean, I don't if he's actually healthy, I mean, I don't see him starting over Bro or assuming Lattimore. Lattimore is as good as advertised. So I mean, I would say at best he could be like your starting nickel cornerback, but nothing better than that.
Hopefully. What excuse will replace the curse of the Greenbrier, Andrew?
What I mean, is it the curse of the Greenbrier or is it the Compton curse?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, I think we were cursed kind of before the Greenbrier.
Yeah, but the Greenbrier, man, the Greenbrier is responsible for a lot.
True. Wallpaper.
Yeah, the Compton. Well, at least we've got the Greenbrier curse out of the mix by not going there. but I'm still worried about the Compton curse. I'm not convinced that's been lifted.
All right, I'm going to butcher this poor person's name. Guillaume Martorell. He asked, over under Saints special teams players running into each other during returns in 2017, 2.5. Over under, Andrew.
Over.
Over. Special teams improved not to cost Saints games. Yeah, I think that
maybe
I think
one
special
game.
Teams are gonna be
maybe
bad.
One game they'll fuck I us think, up. They'll fuck us over.
I think special. Here's the thing. In all seriousness, I think special teams is one area where a coach can make all the difference, because the special teams players the Saints have are not necessarily that much worse than the special teams players the Patriots have, right? So I think a coach can make a lot of difference in special teams. So we'll see. I'm optimistic on special teams.
We have guys. We have guys on the roster that could actually be decent return guys too. That could work out. Yeah. Nicely.
They're going to return a kick and a punt for a touchdown this year.
Wow. I'm
very confident in that. If you could be one animal, what would you be? That's from Anthony. Dave.
One animal, what would I be? That's a good question. I think I would want something that flies. I mean, you got to be able to fly. You got to be able to fly.
Say a falcon.
No, not a falcon.
Vulture.
You know, any type of bird other than a falcon, I guess I would say. I mean, just think about travel. I mean, travel time is maximized exponentially when you can fly and you're not beholden to obstacles in your way. So something like that.
Yeah.
Something that can fly.
I think I'd be a bear.
I'd be a bald eagle. Cause America. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Michael asked, how should I troll the Falcons fan while I'm here for the next 2 days?
Wait, Juge has to tell the story about the guy wearing the scoreboard shirt.
Yeah,
he
had the scoreboard shirt. Andrew, you didn't go up to him and be like, hey, dude, that's an awesome shirt. I'm a Saints fan.
No, I did. I was wearing a Saints shirt. So I was like, yeah, man. I was like, we
fuck Goodell, too.
The game just as much as you guys did. And so we kind of connected over that. He was a Patriots fan. He was wearing the 28-3 shirt. Yeah, I did talk to him. I just afterwards, I didn't want to be like, hey, man, can I grab a picture with you?
Yeah. You should have. Yeah. I would have, because I'm cheesy. Here's the thing. The fun thing with, and we have to do that, because everybody was so gracious to donate, we have to do extra podcasts. And now that the draft has passed, we have to figure out a theme to do. We may talk to a Falcons blogger or whatever. I think Falcons bloggers are fucking delusional that they're like, oh, it won't matter. We're totally over it. It'll be fine. We're not going to have a Super Bowl hangover. Dude, every team that loses the Super Bowl has a Super Bowl hangover. And no
except
team that has ever lost a Super except the Patriots. But no team has ever pulled the trick that the Falcons did where they blew a 28-3 lead. I think they're going to – if they don't have a massive Super Bowl hangover, I'll be very surprised. That's all I'm saying.
They also had a ridiculous amount of luck with injuries. They were the only offensive line that started the same group the whole season. I mean, there's no way they're going to have that again.
Let's see. This is an interesting football question. Which edge guy has the highest upside opposite Cam if everybody stays healthy? That's from Ruben, Andrew.
I mean, assuming everyone stays healthy, I'll say Kikaha.
You think Kikaha's more skilled than Okafor?
I do, yeah.
Are you high? Are you high?
Okafor
has a season with 8.5 sacks. Are you high, Juge?
Kikaha,
are you smoking today? Oh my god!
I love Kikaha's rookie year. If he's healthy, I think he can be a double digit sack guy.
Oh my god!
Get on the train,
I can't believe it.
I guess it's Okafor.
I mean, no. I mean, you believe what you want. I mean, I'm just. Kikaha
had 17 sacks as a senior. 17.
Yeah, but Okafor had 9 or 8.5 in an actual NFL year.
Yeah, but Kikaha had like 4 as a rookie.
All right. It's closer than I get, but I'm not going to give you that one, Juge. Just okay. Like I gave you Norv Turner.
You can win this one.
All right. What happens first, Dave?
Hell loses his virginity. I'm going to take this one.
No, I'm going to take this one. Right. What happens first? Trump's approval rating rises above 45% or Kevin watches a Saints game in 2017? Oh, that's easy. Trump's approval rating can rise above 45%. All he has to do is bomb a country or we have some sort of national tragedy. It won't stay at 45 for more than like 48 hours, Dylan, but it can get there. America will rally around the president for like 5-10 solid minutes. This has Dave. Has the Trump administration hired the 2014 Saints scouting department yet?
I really love our fans. They're very clever.
They are.
Yes, they have, and hopefully they're smart enough to get rid of them sooner than the Saints did.
Andrew, worse for your health, visiting Fukushima, Japan, or the Saints going 7-9 again?
Oh, God. I would say the Saints going 7-9 again, because the thing about the 7-9 season is it's not like it's a death blow where you give up early and you know death they're terrible. Blow. It kind of strings you along until December, and you know you're not making the playoffs, but you have this whole like, yeah, but if they run the table and win three in a row, and you know there's no way they're winning three in a row, but you kind of like are clinging on to dear hope anyway. A 7-9 season is torture, man. I can't.
Here's the thing.
Honestly, right now I'm going to say it, like I would rather the Saints go 3-13 this year than another 7-9.
Here's the thing with the Saints, and this I'm pretty sure this is 100% correct, but if I'm not, I'm sure people will tell me I'm wrong. If the Saints have never gone 7-9 when they've won their opening game, I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, well.
Correct, because all the years they went to the playoffs, they won the opening game, and the year they went at 8-8, they beat Tampa.
Yep.
In 2008. That's in 2008. So basically, it comes down to the opener. If they win the opener at Minnesota, you can rest easy. They won't be 7-9.
I can't do that again. I'd rather go 3-13.
And Dave, is this Fleener's last year to produce at tight end for the Saints before they go in another direction?
Probably. I don't know what I don't remember what was his contract. 3 years? 4 years?
I think it was. It was 5 years, but there was an eject button after year two.
Oh well, then I would especially say yes if that's the case, but. Even if there's no sort of eject clause or whatever, I mean, the amount they paid him, and I'm assuming his contract is backloaded where he's going to count more against the cap the later in that contract we get. So I would definitely have to assume if he's not producing in relation to the amount he was paid, which was just absolutely ridiculous. I was never a fan of that before they paid him, nor after they paid him. So yeah, they
worst deal, Fleener or Nick Fairley for you?
Oh man, oh that is a good question.
That's...
You know what? I gotta say Fleener only because Fairley was gonna get that money. He was gonna get it from somebody if it wasn't the Saints. Fleener was so overpaid. I mean, he was the highest paid tight end in free agency that last year, and there was no. It was really like, you know, it's like the home buyers market. You know, there are comps. You know,
you're bidding against yourself. Fleener should have been $8 a foot, and the Saints paid $12.
And they did, yeah, exactly. And they didn't have to. There were no other bidders at more than $8 a foot. They just totally. It was like they wanted them so bad, you know. And another one of those typical situations. You know, I think J.R. Ella on Canal Street Chronicles wrote something similar, but he was talking about Kamara and how Sean Payton is basically trying to chase the ghost of you know, Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles, and he continuously tries to get these scat back type players. And I think after Jimmy Graham, it's the same thing. I think Kobe Fleener was Peyton's attempt to to chase the ghost of Jimmy Graham. And so far, I think he was willing to pay whatever it took to get him. And I think they overpaid for him. And so far, it hasn't worked out.
I wonder if Fleener and Boone had the same agent, and when the Saints whiffed on Aaron Boone.
Yeah, like, we didn't get Boone, but I've got a perfect
contract.
And he's only got 8,000 miles on him. This is from Odizzy. Andrew, what's your prediction for who will play Mike, Will, and Sam linebackers?
I think the Mike will be AJ Klein. I think you'll have Ellerby and Robertson.
Interesting. What's the over under on preseason wins?
You have a lot of questions.
Since all the backups won't be UDFA this season. Hey, Dave, this is a fun trivia question. When was the last time the Saints won a preseason game, and who was it against?
We went 0-4 last year, right?
I think it's 10 in a row. It's definitely 8 in a row because they've gone 0-4 the last 2 years.
I'm just because it's the highest probability, I'm going to say the Texans because we play them every year. and I guess that would have had to have been that would have been 2014.
No, 15. No, you're right. 14.
Let's see. So, what do you think of the Georgia Tech quarterback we tried out at wide receiver and cornerback and signing to a 3-year deal? Dude ran a 4.32 at his pro day.
Wow.
Could he be Edelman-esque?
I mean, I feel like these fast guys, I mean, that's great, but if they can't play football, then it's not going to matter. So the Saints' last preseason win was the Colts.
Mm.
They have since lost 9 in a row.
Mm. 9 in a row. Man, that's impressive. I feel like you need to win at least one preseason game to have a decent season. That's my theory based on nothing. Let's see. I think that's all the questions we have. Thanks, everybody.
Didn't the Patriots go 0-4 the year they went 16-0?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, this is our final two questions. Andrew, who do you hate more, Cam Newton's or the entire Falcon organization?
Just think about that smile. Think about Cam Newton just smiling at you, just smirking and grinning at you right now.
And his weird analogies that make no sense.
If Cam Newton played for the Falcons, it'd be kind of perfect. I wish that trade would happen. Man, I got to go with the Falcons. There's a lot more history there.
Yeah, yeah, and the Falcons rival, the Saints Falcons is going to be phenomenal this year. Just phenomenal.
But as an LSU fan, I mean, you know, the history with him extends past, but precedes the Panthers.
Yeah, his 1 year at Auburn.
Yeah.
Ruined LSU. So this is the last question from Dylan. What movie are you most excited about this summer/year? I'm going to say, and this is going to make me sound like a total nerd, but I don't care. That Dunkirk movie about World War II, that movie looks phenomenal.
Terrible.
Phenomenal. It's the guy that did Batman, and it'll probably make $9, and it'll be $9 from me. But that's the movie I'm most excited about. Andrew, do you have a movie that you're excited about?
Man, I probably haven't watched a movie that wasn't a cartoon at the theaters in like 7 years. My son turned 7 tomorrow, so I would say it's been about 7 years.
That's why my answer is Cars 3.
Cars 3.
That's what I'm most excited about.
When's that
about.
Come out?
What is the new Frozen movie that's coming out this summer?
Oh, is that? I don't know about that.
I believe there is a second Frozen because my daughter saw that and started screaming.
My daughter is not that old, not old enough yet, so we're not totally into the princess and girl shit yet. we're still Star Wars obsessed.
Get ready, buddy.
I'm totally prepared. Mm. And also the Fantastic. Ninjago Lego movie we're also excited about in my house. You guys probably don't even know what Ninjago is. Well, maybe Andrew does.
Oh, I know.
I don't know. What is that? Is that going to be coming down my path soon?
Ninjago might kind of fizzle out by the time Max is old enough.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he's 18. He's 18 months. Right now, he loves BB, Bebe TV, and Speedy Gonzalez, because I'm father.
Nice.
By the way, Twitch is having an 18-day Mr. Rogers marathon. So if you want him to watch, I grew
did
up
your kids ever? Did your kids ever get into Elmo or Elmo's yeah, World my, or Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
Yes, my kids are both currently into Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and my daughter likes Sesame Street. She's a big Cookie Monster fan, but Dylan was into Elmo when he was like two.
Max will binge on that those two very soon, Ralph.
Yeah.
My son is big on the Elmo. He brings me the Elmo book that somebody bought him, where you push the buttons and it plays music and Elmo talks. He'll bring it up to me and want me to push the buttons for him. So, Sesame Street, man, they know how to brand. They know how to get them kids, rope them in. It's like crack cocaine for toddlers. So that wraps up this show. Thanks for everybody for the questions. We really appreciate it. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got articles. He's got quick shots that me and him do about one specific Saints topic. You can go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave's going to have a fantastic Saints preview right around Christmas time. And Kevin is on the Twitters. So until next week, the bar is closed.